hand up, ma'am, in the aqua color.
No,
you got to come up here. Come on up, give us your name, and then you can just have a question.
Sure. My name's Karen Rudo, and I moved here close to 2 years ago.
Yep.
Just looking around the room, I feel like I could be possibly the youngest person here today. I may be mistaken by that. There may be a few other people, and we just haven't heard a lot of opinions from this generation. I feel like there's many looking towards the past and a lot of talk of the future, and I feel like I am part of the future, and I really agree with much of what's been said today.
Let me assure you, everyone in this room hopes that they're part of the future. Some future. Okay.
Talking about future generations.
Me ease your mind on that right now. Okay. Yeah. But please give us the benefit of your opinion.
I really do agree with much of what's been said. I feel like a lot of the talk that's been in support of the new economic development really has been talking about providing jobs, and that frequently comes down to people in the younger generations getting these more low-paying jobs, and I really don't see many of these unemployed people here today in support of that, and I feel like if I were unemployed, I would really make an effort, if I was that desperate, to have my voice heard. And maybe we still could hear those people today, but I notice a strong absence of that. And when I've spent some time in Rehoboth and some various other areas, I do notice many foreign people that are serving me in restaurants and in various other situations, and I wonder if there really are people looking for these low-wage jobs or if we're having to get them from other places. And that's not a fact. I don't know about this, but that's just my general impression.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, yes, sir, over here.
Jim Walu, Overbrook Shores.
Okay.
You want us to sign this, don't you?
If you'd like.
I felt like I was at a trial when I came in, and I listened to Mr. Fuqua, who's very, very well-prepared, and I thought, oh, man, we're in trouble. And then when the people came, like, let's say the defense team, I thought they did a very good job. Things started to equalize out, I thought. And I wanted to say that the certified planner, I think, hit the most important points in terms of, you know, what is on the books in terms of comprehensive plan, what's in the zoning in terms of what we should be looking at. I think there's been probably too much emphasis on a retail development in this project or this session is really about rezoning, and it could be rezoned for almost anything.
It's true.
And I think that's the greatest fear I have, that once it's rezoned commercial, we don't know what's coming or what can come. And I have a feeling, and I know that I've been working pretty diligently on the comprehensive plan for the town of Milton, since I have property in Milton. Now, the comprehensive plan for the county was done in 2008. It's up for renewal.
It is.
And I think it's very important that we need to look at any property on the bay side of Route 1. I think that is such a fragile area. I think the comprehensive plan ought to really address that as an area that maybe needs more protection than it's been given up to this point. And I will get involved in the county comprehensive plan.
Please do. Please call your county council person. In fact, call them tonight.
But one particular issue I would like to raise, and I don't know what Shane's response to this is going to be, but I went up to the planning and zoning office. It was late summer, early fall. I wanted to review the whole file on this when the application was initially in. And I went through the whole file, and I was reading all these letters and stuff. And finally I said, where's the DOT transportation plan or transportation analysis? And the woman that brought me the box said, well, Planning Commission is not interested in transportation. That's DOT's issue. And I said, what? Planning Commission is not interested in transportation issues? And anyway, about a month later, we had our homeowners association meeting in Overbrook Shores, and a gentleman was there from DOT. And he was talking about the traffic impact study that was done for this particular project. And I said, you have a copy of the summary? And he said, yeah. I said, could I have that? He says, yeah. So I started going through the summary. And I was kind of amazed. And I think Mr. B, and I don't want to mispronounce your whole last name, informed us, I think, at one of our meetings in Milton on our comprehensive plan that DOT's position is that on a project, they will go out three, four intersections away to analyze the traffic impact on a particular project. And I think that can make sense if you're doing a 300, 600 unit subdivision. But when you're doing 850,000 square feet, it seems to me that that traffic impact study ought to be much larger. And I think it may be incumbent on this commission, if you have projects like this, it's got to be a much larger study that DOT gets.
Well, our friends at DOT are the ones who determine the scope of the of any traffic study. I think this one was a little bit bigger than three or four intersections, though. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, kind of bring your comments to a close, if you want to make some kind of closing statement about this specific application, we'd be happy to hear it.
Okay. Well, my concern is, and this is a concern that we have in Milton, that, as you know, most of the housing developments in this area of the county are actually south of Route 9. A lot of them, and there's going to be
Let's get back up to the highway here on Route 1.
Saying is, a lot of this traffic, if this were to be built or anything is built on this site, are going to be coming probably on Route 5. They're going to avoid Route 9 because that's going to be jam-packed. And they're going to be coming through Milton. And I think a traffic impact study on the town of Milton for anything along this line is going to be required. And I know that DOT decides what traffic impact studies need to be made, but I think as a commission, you may need to ask DOT to do a more expansive study on some of these developments.
And they always listen to us. We can certainly ask them that.
You can ask them.
Thank you. Yes,
I don't know if you're going to get a good answer, but you can ask them.
But we can sure ask.
Thank you very much for
your
time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? All the way in the back, ma'am, with your hand with her red pocketbook strap coming across there, the black top, blonde hair.
Computer expert.
It's our computer expert.
Oh, that's, yeah, here we go. It's been ages since we saw you.
Computer's outdated.
I'm here. My name is Leslie Vincent. I've lived here in Sussex County since 1999, first in Long Neck, then Georgetown, and recently moved to Milton.
Okay.
I'd like to speak. I didn't come planning to speak, but I realize I might have something to add because I am very proudly a 16-year teacher at Delaware Tech.
Wonderful.
And the reason why I felt I had something to add with that is that one of the things that I see every single semester are people at Delaware Tech trying to get out of retail. I can't tell you how many variations on I'm tired of folding shirts I've heard from everything from recent high school graduates to baby boomers who were laid off from DuPont. They know that they can't do that. Sometimes that's the only thing they can get, but when they get that, they're working minimum wage, they don't have benefits, they don't have transportation. Many of them live in central and western Sussex. And you can't get there from there if you don't have a reliable car, which many of these people can't afford. They're working shift work, and that's shift with an F. I will qualify that. And what that, how that impacts them is that I have students who, in their retail jobs, they will be notified the day before that their shift has changed. They're not told their schedule. They can't come to their classes. They can't take care of their children and pick them up from work because they're stuck in sometimes two or three part-time retail jobs that are getting them absolutely nowhere. These are not real jobs for Sussex Countyans. As somebody also already pointed out, many of the places we know hire foreign students on summer visas because they want somebody to work from a little bit before Memorial Day to several weeks past Labor Day, and that's it. They want them to then go home, and they don't want to have to deal with them. They put them up in apartments where, you know, eight people per, you know, two- and three-bedroom apartments, and that's it. They don't have to deal with what real Sussex Countyans have to deal with here. Let me check my very tiny, tiny notes here. Many of them would just be repetition. I will also speak as a resident of the local area. As my last year as a math teacher, I can say that the 4,000 feet down Cave Neck Road that some part of the sewer thing is going to be put is at the entrance to my development. And you know, I know what a disaster that traffic is on Cave Neck. I totally welcome something like they put up in Milton, where you can, at highway speed, exit on the right and go up a ramp, and you can come back down and get into highway speed traffic. Not that Route 1's always at highway speed during the summer, but, you know, that's a whole different story. What they're proposing instead is a triple series of traffic circles, where there's no chance to get up to highway speed. It's a nightmare. If I were coming home from Rehoboth, I'd have to go into the mall. Turn around.
What is it? I'm trying to understand what you're objecting to, because remember our decision.
Absolutely. The objection is that it, as other people have already stated, it's not a highway speed ramp as originally was proposed by DelDOT. It's not is not something that is conducive to really reducing traffic in the area. It's not certainly not something that will in any way benefit the people who live in the area. And I guess I'll let that sum that up. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you, and thank you for your service at Del Tech. Okay, yes, sir, with you sitting in the aisle. Jump up, somebody jump up. There you are. That's you. Come on. All right. Good. How are you doing?
Good evening. Very quick.
Okay.
My name is Richard Palak. Recently retired to this beautiful area. I live in Lewis.
Okay.
I didn't plan to speak tonight.
Okay.
It should be evident to you, everybody in the room, from an outsider standpoint, this mammoth project could kill the goose that lays that golden egg. The congestion here that I see, the growth in residential communities, and I'm part of it, the residential communities that are popping up in this area between Coastal, and there's two more big ones on Route 9. I've come to realize there are only three roads that go east-west. That's the end of 1, 24, and 9. I don't see anything. I read the papers. I'm trying to learn about the area that I live in. I absolutely love it. What I don't love already, it didn't take me very long at all to realize it doesn't seem to be any planning from up north, I guess that's the Dover area, about how are we going to handle this traffic and this growth. And then on top of that, you want to throw this in. Remember why people come here. They come here because they want to enjoy themselves. I stopped going to the New Jersey Shore beaches 20 years ago, 30 years ago, because the congestion was so much. I said, it's just not worth the traffic. I won't go there. That's how I found Delaware. I bypassed New Jersey. I said, holy smokes, look at Delaware. I wanted to come here.
Okay.
With the pressure on the finances in Dover, the only thing that keeps this economic engine running is buying, you know, if anything happens to your sales tax in this state, you could collapse. You could collapse here in the South.
What sales tax?
Because you don't have one.
Exactly.
That's right, and I hope we don't have one in the future. But with the pressure on the state to provide services for a state that's growing with decreasing revenues, there's going to be all kinds of pressures to generate money. And they seem to look down here. This is what I read in the papers. You know, at any rate, they seem to look down here as an economic engine.
Let's get back to the issue.
No, I'm done. No, I'm just saying that's it. I'm just saying it's the traffic. I think that we've all heard this over and over again. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Brockenbrough, could I ask you a question, please? The question about the ramp, the design of the ramps and all that has come up three or four times. And while this is not a site plan exposition by any means, it is a hearing about a change of zone, but I do think it's come up enough that if you have anything you could share about the design or the process or something, we'd like to hear it.
Well, yes, a few points. First, the idea of routing Cave Neck Road traffic through the shopping center. The ramps, the roads, the people who travel to get to Cave Neck Road would be built for state maintenance. They would be between Route 1 and the shopping center, and in some ways may feel like they're part of the shopping center, but they would be state-maintained roads, one concept for the northbound to westbound movement would include a bypass of those two traffic circles, those two roundabouts. The suggestion that you would drive into the shopping center to get to Cave Neck, to go over the overpass and get into Cave Neck Road is not technically correct.
Okay.
The design.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's late, but I need to hear him right now. You'll get a chance in a minute. Go ahead.
The design of the interchange, the grade separation, is very much under discussion. We thought we had a concept that worked for both of us, both DelDOT and the developer. The developer's bankers told them that it didn't work for them. They've shown us three alternatives. We found one that with some modifications we think can work. I don't want to get into the details of it too much.
I agreed, and it's beyond scope of this hearing, but since it was mentioned a few times, I wanted to ask what you could share, and I guess it would be a fair statement to say that it's far from decided.
Correct.
Okay.
It's very much still under discussion. Nothing's been really designed yet.
I would urge you that if this development does, in fact, go forward, that you would bear in mind some of the comments you've heard this evening.
Absolutely.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Okay, all the way in the back, waving. Okay.
Good evening. I'm Kay Rudo, and I live in Heronwood. And I've been lucky to live here for about 6.5 years.
Great.
In Western Sussex and now Eastern Sussex.
Good.
And sometimes you forget.
One do you like better?
Pardon?
One do you like better? I happen to live in Laurel, by the way.
I can't decide.
It'd
be good like
answer.
Two children.
Good answer.
But what people forget, I think, after they live here for a while is that this area, Eastern Sussex, is a gem that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world when you think about it. We have still open areas that are undeveloped. If I wanted to build a house, I could be 20 minutes from the beach on the off season. And where else can you live? Where else could you actually start fresh? Where could you do something like this? We have great farmland, and it's wonderful to preserve that farmland. Clearly, this isn't going to happen in this spot. And we have to understand that people want to sell their land and do stuff with it. But wouldn't a more appropriate outlet for this be maybe more housing so people can live close to the beach? You know, we can drive to shop. We don't have to shop every day. But there's much better uses for this.
I expect some of these same folks would probably still come and see us. but...
Yeah, they'd come see us, and that's how we manage to have the culture we have here, is because we have other people paying for it.
Makes it work.
But we have a gem here. We have open land that we're talking about, what do we do with it now? And it just seems to me that once you make it into a mall, you're never going to rip it out. It's always going to be paved.
Okay.
And
fair enough.
I think we have better uses. Thank
you. Okay,
very much.
Thank you. All right, who's next? No hands. Yeah, up. One all the way in the back. Oh, and one over here. You're taking a chance standing in my peripheral vision. You're up next. This guy first, then you.
Hi, Mark Ruto here.
Thank you.
Actually, lived in Delaware for 7 years now.
Okay.
And it's been a couple years in the Milton area.
All right.
And I'm an engineer by training, so what I've lived, I actually owned a house most of my life. Moved to Delaware, and I rented for 5 years. I did that for a couple reasons. One of them was to really get a lay of the land, really understand what it was like.
Right.
And I chose where I live now, which is actually on Cave Neck Road.
Right.
And I looked at it and wanted to evaluate what it was like and what it would be to live there. Part of a long-term comprehensive land use plan, part of zoning, is so that you can forecast what things are going to be like in the future. Things are zoned in a certain way. You know, if you live next to something zoned commercial, well, you can't complain if it gets built up. If you live next to an airport, you can't complain if there's noise there. So I chose where I live because it's going to be a very nice area, very quiet, very pleasant, lots of good things about it. This puts that whole thing in jeopardy and actually tends to make it worse and tends to spoil what we expected it to be.
Where is it that you live? Cave Neck Road, you said?
Cave Neck Road.
Okay.
Yeah. The second concern I have, again, the engineer training me coming out,
okay,
is the significant negative impact on property values that this is going to have in the area there. I can't cite facts or figures or proof, but when you do something like that, you have a nice area, it tends to go downhill in terms of property values. The third point I'll make, and this is my third and final point, somebody else earlier today mentioned they're a bicycle rider.
Mm-hmm.
I am too. I bike some good distances. Naturally, a lot of that is on Cave Neck Road, at least starting and beginning with it. Right now, it's pretty pleasant for that. You can get to where you want to go and go down some other streets. Once you get that to be a major thoroughfare to get to this mall, that's going to be a very different and very unpleasant, probably significantly dangerous area to be biking. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, coming over here. We've heard about traffic. We've heard a number of things. Please try not to be too terribly repetitive as it's getting late.
John Mateko, and I live in Lewis on Pilottown Road. And for those of us who live there, 20 years I've been there, when I first came, you drive straight out to Route 1 and just one or two cars in front of you. Now it's a few months still before we get the summer season, and there's a huge backup on Kings Highway. And last year a little bit, but this year really big happening at West Coast Corner on Savannah Road. Routinely a big backup. To get past that traffic light in front of the Food Line there, you wait twice because the queue is packed. So it seems to me, from a planning commission's point of view, the only big question here is the key question that drives your whole comprehensive plan. Is this really orderly growth? Is it constructive, orderly growth to put the biggest shopping center in this county north of the all the east-west arteries and that tie up at the intersection and the congestion you have already in Lewis, why would you plan to put it north so that people would pass every conceivable type of store, drive past it, to get to a new shopping center? Is that orderly growth? And that is the legal question that the advocates, you notice, didn't even bother to go near, because that's the discretion you have. And I don't think anyone, you don't need a traffic study. You all know what that traffic is like. The question we have in Lewis is, what is the best value added? Good jobs, what do we really need? You know, new types of stores or shops or restaurants. We have to be discerning and careful, because we can't take everything. We could take very, very little more. It's a zero sum. You get more of this, you got less of this left. So if this is a zero sum, and if you'll accept that these roads are pretty close to capacity, is this the most orderly growth that you would plan, putting it north of where the population center is, so you have to drive through the existing shopping area of Sussex County? I think they, you know, whatever wisdom there is to this type of giant mall, it should be up, as been mentioned, up by 95, or it should be down in the middle of the Lewis Rehoboth shopping corridor, but not north of Five Points, where it'll just be a jam. The only other thing I would add, it doesn't seem to me to be it doesn't seem to be a slam dunk at all that this is CR1 is appropriate. Of course, there's a lot of small, little, sort of mom and pop level, the bike store, that tire store, medical appliance apparatus store. I was in there getting a cane or something. These are tiny little mom and pop stores. It's not clear that the scale of this is consistent with the character of that established neighborhood. So is the scale appropriate to orderly growth? Thanks very much.
Our answer, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, who's next? Going once, okay, one over here. Way in the back, I saw a hand. Saw a hand way in the back here. You can be next if you're listening. Wave. There you go. All right, sir. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
My name is Joseph in Calcaterra.
Okay.
And I live in on Cave Neck Road.
Okay.
And I've been a homeowner there for a year and a half.
Okay.
You're opening up a Pandora's box if you agree to this deal.
Okay.
I really think that these guys are going to book. They're going to get a commercial, get a zone commercial. They're not going to build anything. They're going to put it up for sale and make a ton of money. That's what I think is behind this. So just be careful and think about what you're doing. Again, Pandora's box. You okay. Don't know what you're going to get. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right. You're up. Come on. All right.
Good evening, Jeff. My name is Jeff Stone. I'm a 7-year resident of Oyster Rock, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I just want to quickly endorse the comments of my colleagues, my friends, my neighbors, particularly Gary Norris. I've worked with Gary for a number of years, and I think he was spot on. Now I'm going to give you my editorial, and that is that it's my opinion and position that the responsibility of government, the challenge that you face, and the big bucks that you get paid to face this challenge, is to balance the competing interest and the competing needs that you hear here tonight. Obviously, there's two sides, if not three or four sides, to every story. And you've heard it all, and you've heard it all before. But it is your responsibility. It is in the interest to protect the interest of all citizens of the community as a whole. The introduction to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, you know it, but I'm going to quote it. Sussex County encourages appropriate types of development in compatible locations at suitable densities. The county also emphasizes quality of life and promotes conservation in community design. And I would ask you the question of how does this proposed development meet these stated goals of Sussex County? It doesn't. It cannot. According to the Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Plan, the site is bounded on the north, south, and east by protected land, agricultural preservation district. The site itself is designated as environmentally sensitive developing area. Very difficult to rationalize and justify this as the chairman stated at the opening, as of the appropriate zoning. Because the law, the state strategies, the comprehensive plan is permissive, it does not require that because an application is made, it be approved, obviously. B1 or C1 or AR1 is also appropriate zoning for this land. And in keeping with the context of the comments made by the person before me, when you look at the neighborhood, when you look at the developments that you as a planning commission in the county have allowed to develop there, they are low density, low traffic, and make sense to serve the community. And all the developments, the residential developments, which have taken place and been built there, including my own, in the last 10, 12 years. So I think that is the challenge that faces you. And I took some notes that I wanted to refer to. And the question is, would CR1 as opposed to AR1 or some lesser density zoning really be and promote the orderly growth? Would it really be the appropriate zoning for what is there now and for what your vision, the county's vision, is for that corridor and for our community? Can we allow below 5 points to continue to grow up past 5 points? Thank you.
Our answer, we thank you. Okay, who's next? Going once, going twice. Okay, then. We thank you all. We're before we close the public hearing, before we close the public hearing, want to let you know that when we do, your first tendency is probably going to be to want to get up and leave. You are welcome to remain to see if we make a decision. Since we only have one public hearing and all our other business is done, we are going to address this public hearing as soon as it's closed. So if you wish to remain to see what happens, you're welcome to. If you do not, I want to ask you to get to leave quickly and quietly, because we're still going to be having some business left to do, and we don't want to be disrupted. For those of you who remain, we'll be happy to take a show of hands for those who are in favor and those who are opposed. Okay.
Opposed.
I said, yeah. Are you? If you're opposed to the application, raise your hand. Just one. This is so we can put it into the record that this many folks stayed for the hearing, and at the end they were opposed.
I had 58.
58. Yeah. Okay. Thank you all very much. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.